So would you stay up here? I'm sure there is. You can do that too. Well,
the kids are supposed to come up here too.
It's on.
Come on, guys. You're supposed to stay. I'm just going to have to talk loud because I don't know. Is this working now? Good. I don't think they knew we were going to use it. And it's one more week on the farm theme, so don't judge. All right. This was so spontaneous. Steve has a beautiful chance to go up to Lake Erie quite often, and we never know when we're going to see him. So we wanted to just have one little chance to thank him. The kids made. Do you guys want to just hold this up there? Last week, just made a card. Who's got me? Corbin must be back there. Okay. Just thanking Steve for all the years that he has led the kids. I know a lot of your kids, if you're older, probably had Steve and Joanna for junior church, and he helped with Planet Zero and all kinds of things, but just life is different with grandkids and different things going on, so it was just time. And after I shed a few tears, I forgave him and wished him well, but the kids also wanted to do the same thing. So we just thank you so much for how much you love them and the great costumes and the great props, and it was just always an adventure when Mr. Steve was there, wasn't it? So we'll miss you very much. So obviously, you know, you'll have to find a way this will fit in with your decor at home. Maybe Bree has some ideas about that. I'm not sure. But we love you. We thank you. How about we all just say a prayer for Mr. Steve right now? Can you just bow your heads with me? Dear Father, I just praise you for this time we can be together. We just thank you for your servants that have just given so willingly over all the years just to love you and serve you. We just ask for a blessing on Steve and Joanna as they visit family and care for parents and just all the things that life has in store for them, that you just bless them richly. And we know they love you with all their hearts. We just give you the glory for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So now we can go. How about that?
There you go.
I'll let you turn it on.
Okay.
All right. Let's go.
Take the scholar and go. Ushers, if you would, please serve with us this morning. And remember, the pew pads go out from the middle. And while they are serving us,
yes, it's me again. I've been asked to announce this multiple times for anyone who happens to miss it from one week to the next, but I'm just reminding you about the upcoming 5K Eagle Run on August 10th at 7 p.m. It's a fundraiser for Gilead Christian School to help supplement where funds are needed. And we're expanding it this year to include more age categories. There's going to be a children's area over here with rides and fun things for the children to participate in. And there's also going to be a 5K relay for all of you who don't run the whole 5K, but you want to participate. Just register your team. Register like you normally would with your name and put your team name. It only takes 4 people. It'll be a good time. Everyone will have fun. Early registration is on until July 15th if you want a shirt, but you can register clear up to the time of the run. sorry, allergies. I want to thank everyone that helped last year on the race day, all the volunteers who came out to help me on that day. As you know, it takes all of us to make this a success, and this year we are needing a lot of volunteers again, a lot of participants, sponsors, and mostly prayers. So there's flyers on the Welcome Center out there. Go ahead and grab a flyer. It kind of gives a little bit of information. It has the date and talks about sponsorships. And there will be a volunteer meeting 3 weeks prior to the event. We find that seems to work really well. And that'll be on July 20th for everyone at 7 o'clock. For everyone who wants to be a race day volunteer. And you can also go to Volunteer Spot. It's a website, and there's some stuff listed that you can, if you want to sign up for a specific area to volunteer in or donate something, that would be great. But this is an opportunity for us to do outreach into the community. Last year, over 8 counties came and were represented in this run. And this year, we're expecting a lot more. So we really want to get the word out. We're going to need help, of course. And it's fun. It's fun for everybody. If you get a chance, just get on the Good Christian School website and look at the video from last year. The smile said it all. It's a good time to get together with family and the community and just to have fun. So please continue to keep this event in your prayers and mark your calendars. I hope to see you there. Thank you.
Remember, there is an age-challenged group. Harvey and I are forming a relay team. And it'll probably take, 10 or 12. Well, I sure am glad to see you all here this morning. I don't know what kind of week you've had or what all your circumstances have been. I'm constantly reminded that the congregation changes week to week. Not that the people change, but the congregation changes because of the circumstances of life we've all been through. And if you happen to be a Cleveland Cavalier fan, you saw that happen just the last two games, where you win by 30 and then you don't win by 30. So it's not only the church, it's teams, it's classes, it's the workplace. Everywhere you go, people will be changed from one day to the next because of the circumstances of life that they experience. Today we want to continue in Ephesians 6. Last week we worked our way through and the first half. This morning we're going to start with verse 10 and work our way through the rest of the chapter. I want to review just a little bit. Last week we started right off. You see, we always do this. The children are here and then they leave and then we read a verse about them. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And see, they're gone. What we see here in this first part, all the way through even slaves and masters, which really are workers and employers, what we see here in the first part of this chapter is God's natural order for life. And it begins with the family. When there is a natural order in the family, when God's natural order pervades the family, where we obey God first and set that example for our children so that they will obey us, that sets a natural order that impacts all of society. The church, the community. This is where God is instructing us and teaching us the best way to live life. And if you don't believe me, take a look at what's going on in the United States today. There's a little bit of confusion, a little bit of chaos. And I think it all stems back down to the family and the fact that we're not necessarily following God's natural order for life. We also said that we have opportunities here, relationships based on love and respect. And this is probably a good place to use the 5 love languages. I'm just going through a real long review now. And I want you to remember, and we're going to go over this again, in verse 12, it says, our struggles are not against flesh and blood. So remember, be mindful. People are not the enemy. Let me repeat that. People are not the enemy. People are the opportunities to carry out the Great Commission, under the influence of the Great Commandment, to carry out the great mission statement of the church, to be and make disciples. See, it's not people that tempt us so much as the system that we live in. The social, economic, political, media system. Not only, I'm just going to call it the system. Revelation has a lot of names for it. But it's just the system. It's our political system, our economic system, our media system. And really this morning there's a huge question that we need to come to grips with. How relevant is Jesus in our lives and in the actions that we take? We profess certain beliefs. We profess Jesus and Him crucified and resurrected. We profess Jesus' teachings, Matthew 5 through 7, John 14 and 15, the whole New Testament, the Old Testament. Do we know enough about the Jesus we profess to be disciples and make disciples? Do His teachings impact our lives on a daily basis? Do His teachings speak to the condition of our heart? When we say, is Jesus relevant in our lives? Let me do it. I think it's here someplace. On this dollar bill, it says on the back, right there over the one, do you know what it says? In God we trust. When we recite the Pledge of Allegiance right in the middle, it says, one nation. Okay. Is that relevant anymore? When I pull out that dollar bill, is it in God we trust or that dollar bill? You see, if the Church of Jesus Christ is going to survive in the United States today, Jesus must be relevant to the church before He can be relevant outside the church. He must be relevant in our lives every waking moment as we go through life, in order for Him to be relevant to the people that we come into contact every day. You see, God has invited us into a journey into His heart. He wants us to live in Him. We are built to live this way. We get our significance, our meaning from God. We count with God. You see, when Adam and Eve did what they did, they created a God-shaped hole right here in everyone's hearts who followed. God gives us every opportunity to fill that God-shaped hole with anything but Him. It's called free will. Then eventually we come to doing that and say, like Nicodemus maybe, how did I miss it? Today what we face as we prepare to armor up is a conflicting set of worldviews. The Christian worldview. That is God's truth. We all have one. We all have a view of the world. We all have a faith. We all have something we believe in. A worldview tells us where we came from, who we are, what's gone wrong with the world, and how to fix it. Some are based on theology. Some are based on philosophy. Some are based on nothing. But we each have one. You see, and this is something we always need to remember about people that we come into contact with. The world is flying upside down and they don't know it. It's much like this jet pilot. And Harvey explained it to me a little bit more. This jet pilot was trying to fly on instruments and he was flying upside down and he didn't believe it. So when he put the plane into a climb, he flew into the mountain. He was flying upside down and he didn't even know it. Church, through the next week ahead, we will all run into people who are flying upside down and they don't even know it. So, don't condemn them. Don't judge them. Our role as disciples of Jesus is to engage them and show them the right side up. Our instrument panel is right here. What is the Christian worldview based on? Yeah, that's right. That's okay. I've been in education for 40 years, so feedback from students is a good thing. The Christian worldview is based on the Great Commandment. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the neighbor as ourselves. Can we grasp that the Christian worldview is thinking and acting with the mind of Christ? Constantly. It's not if. You know, we're supposed to keep every thought and action captive to the Lordship of Jesus and to serve others. It's not that we keep the teachings of Jesus until we run into a certain obstacle or until this happens. It is a way to live. One writer wrote, it's not the fact that the gospel does not have the ability to provide answers to others. That's not the great obstacle to the church in the United States today. The great obstacle in the church today is the fact that many Christians fail to live out what they profess. That is tough to take. The early church was sanctified. It meant it was set apart. It was different than the whole world around it. The question is the church still holy? Is the church still set apart? Is the church still different from the world around us? Not that we're going to be different just to be different. But Jesus teaches a way of life in Matthew 5 through 7. And we profess to believe these teachings. Do we act upon them in a way that says, okay, I will keep the teachings of Jesus, however, until I run into this certain situation. Then I'm going to set those aside in the name of, well, you name it. So there is the Christian worldview based on our love of God, our love of Jesus, and our love of our fellow man. The worldview is a little different. The worldview would have us label each other. The worldview would have us divide. The worldview tries to define me, label me, tries to tell me how I should see myself. Even tells me what kind of razor I should use. Which really is, bugs me. If I really wanted to go down a rabbit hole here, I would. I'm getting sick and tired of paying $25 to shave. But I'm leaving that alone. Let's not go there. But you see what, and this is just a simple thing. I mean, that's just simple. Tries to tell me that I have to use a certain razor, a certain shaving cream, I have to eat at a certain place, because when I do, I'm in. And if I don't, I'm out. But it's not just razor blades. It's everything. The worldview would have us divide over everything. I'm not the inside. I'm on the outside because I don't use a certain product. I don't live a certain way. My friends, we have to fact check everything that the world would have us believe. And here is the great fact checker. I mean, I know you can go on PolitiFacts and all that stuff. This is the great fact checker. To everything that the world offers, fact check it. To everything that the world says, especially this year. This is one of those big national election political years, and they're going to say, and I lump them all together, they're going to say everything they can about each other. Fact check it. Right here. Now, let's read. See, that was the introduction. Let's read the scripture. Ephesians 6, let's start with 10. And we've already talked a little bit about this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Underline that, because it's not your armor. It's not my armor. It's God's armor. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. With it, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. This is Paul writing, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Paul was in prison. Pray that I should declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant. He was the guy bringing all the food to Paul while he was in prison because the Romans didn't feed you. The faithful servant in the Lord will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am in doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. And then he closes. Peace to you, to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Okay, so we are to armor up. The armor is God's armor. The armor that we put on is to help us stand against the world's view. The armor that we put on is to stand against the evil one. You see, the devil has been defanged. The only thing he can do is lie and cheat and deceive people. And he doesn't stop. What he does to Christians he tempts us to doubt. He tries to deceive us. He comes to us. Who do you think it is that sits on your shoulder and says, "Do you really believe that about God? What good is it to pray for God to bring peace to that brokenhearted person? Why ask God to sustain that person who may be going through tough circumstances?" See, the devil wants us to leave the playing field without ever snapping the ball. And you Cleveland fans, I'm sorry to say this, but it would be similar to the Cleveland Cavaliers traveling out to California and then getting back on the plane without ever playing that fifth game. Satan does everything he can to shake our confidence in God, to shake our faith. It is the armor of God that defends us from that. Now, to put this armor on, you would think it probably wouldn't fit. Remember when David tried to put on Saul's armor? It didn't fit. Well, if we have the proper relationship with God, prayer and obedience, it fits. You see, the armor of God is His very nature. Do you know what we're armoring up with? God is love. All that armor, that's God's love for us. And we armor up together. It's not an individual thing. We stand together in this armor. In faith, we don't take the system on by ourselves. I want you to remember that. This isn't about fighting. If we don't put on the armor of God, then we'll have a fight on our hands. Putting on the armor of God is about standing. Because when we do that, we are more than conquerors. Do you know what it is to be more than conquerors? It's like when Ohio State beats Michigan 54 to nothing. I mean, that's just an example. It's when winning is not in doubt. That is more than conquerors. Do you see? It's not like it's the fourth quarter and this is the last snap of the game and it's tied. We are more than conquerors. Every game is a home game. We always win by 30 points. Again, with respect to the Cavaliers. So we armor up on a daily basis. And I want you to notice something when we start reading this about the specific pieces of armor. There is nothing to protect our backs. Do you notice that? It's all in front of us. There's no retreat. We stand together. As a matter of fact, when the 101st Airborne Division started training, were newly formed and were training down in Georgia, they had an old Cherokee saying that they used for their motto, and it was called Kurahi, which means we stand alone together. We stand alone together. Do you ever notice Roman shields? And Paul was writing with a lot of experience about Roman armor because he was in prison. Roman shields were interlocking. They had a battle tactic. They would form a turtle. And what they would do is the front cohort, their shields would come and they'd lock together. Spears would be out through the little interlocking spot. They would lock together in front. They would lock together down the sides. And they would lock together over the top. And they would form an almost invincible turtle. That's what they called it in Roman, in Latin. And they would move or they would stand, especially if the darts were getting hot. That is what we are to do. We stand alone together, shielded up. Now let's read this. The specific pieces of armor. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. When Harvey and I run this, when Harvey and I walk this race, we don't want anything impeding us. So everything that is loose, we bind it and buckle it. When, you know, for a Roman soldier or for an early disciple of Christ to run, the robes would have to be tucked and tightened. The belt would have to be tightened. How many people go to work without tightening your belt? So that's the first thing. Every impediment has to be set aside. No distractions. All the loose ends are out of the way. The belt of truth. Whose truth? Whose truth? God's truth, yes. God's truth. We buckle up with God's truth, the truth of Scripture for protection. The gospel as we live it out in our lives. Then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate goes here. It shields the heart. It produces rightness of action. Righteousness toward our fellow man. Remember, people are the opportunity. Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. If your feet aren't protected, you can't stand. Now, I don't know if any of you remember John Wooden, but John Wooden would open up every single basketball season at UCLA with the simple action of teaching his players how to put on their socks. He would do it. He would sit down across from them. He would take off his own shoes and socks, and he would teach them how to properly put on their socks and then their shoes so that once practice started, they wouldn't get blisters. Because if you had a blister, you couldn't practice. The basics. The basics. So, what Paul is saying in modern times, put on your spiritual socks and lace up your shoes. Fitted with the gospel of peace. The resurrection, the crucifixion, reconciliation between God and man. that is peace. Ready to carry out the Great Commission under the influence of the Great Commandment. Ministry, service, the focus on what Jesus has called us to do. That is peace. The Jewish folks call it shalom. But shalom is not just peace. It's God's provision, protection, and presence. It's the fact that condemnation of God and His judgment is now no longer hanging over us. That is peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which with you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We experience those flaming arrows every day. When the devil says you can't do it, you aren't good enough, or he tries to label us or label the people we are working with, or he tries to divide us, those are the flaming arrows. And the shield of faith, faith in God's character, faith in God that He will do what He says He will do. That is our shield. And they interlock so that we can all stand together. Take the helmet of salvation. That protects what you think about. Now think of this. Let's go back into the Old Testament just a minute. What if Joseph, on the day that Potiphar's wife propositioned him, what if Joseph would have been thinking about Potiphar's wife that whole time? Joseph's story might have worked out a little differently. But Joseph wasn't thinking about Potiphar's wife. Joseph's thoughts were on God. You see, what we think about can influence the way we act. The helmet of salvation protects our thoughts, shields us. Shields us from thinking the way the world wants us to think. And then take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We cannot afford to be ignorant about this. So, we need to read this, we need to study it, we need to do it together because we're going to stand together. So life groups are coming. And we need to be involved in life groups so that we can stand together. But when we disciple people, we need to know what we're talking about. We need to have a faithful witness. And it is Scripture that brings things to mind. And finally, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. When an amateur discusses military tactics, he discusses military tactics. A professional discusses a line of communication, a line of supply. Prayer for us, for the congregation that is armored up. Prayer is the line of communication to God, where we intercede not only for ourselves but for one another, for all the saints. Listen, I don't know what kind of week you're going to have next week. I don't know what you face tomorrow. I know what some of you face on Tuesday. But I don't know what you face. So my prayer, our prayer for one another is intercessory. where we hold off through this Holy Spirit the attacks of the enemy on someone else. And you might say, well, what about praying for me? Somebody else is doing that. Do you see the shields interlocking? I pray for you. You pray for me. We pray for each other. I have no idea what the week holds. I have no idea what temptations are coming your way. I have no idea what the world is going to bring at us. God does. So I pray. We pray for one another, for the saints, to intercede so that we can stand against the world that is flying upside down. And when we have the opportunity, we share with them how to fly right side up. We'll all face spiritual battles. They are not ours to fight. Because it says here, we stand. The battles are God's to fight. We need to change our thinking a little bit, because we think we have to be like Peter and draw our spiritual swords and cut off somebody else's ear to defend Jesus. No. All we have to do is armor up and stand and watch God fight the fight. Because He's the only one who really knows the enemy. He created him. Pray. Finally, pray that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I pray, let us pray for one another, that we will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel to all the people we meet. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Finally, peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Let's stand. Shoulder to shoulder through thick and thin. That is the body of Christ at Gilead, shoulder to shoulder through thick and thin. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you with His countenance, with His presence, and with His protection through the week ahead. And the people at Gilead said, Amen.